City Talk.
The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Right, let's resume our look at the Premier League from the weekend and welcome Ian Herbert from The Independent to the show. Morning to you, Ian.
Morning, Steve. Nice to speak.
Yeah, lovely to speak to you as well. You had the joy of the Manchester Derby yesterday. Let's start with that. Mm-hmm. A young boy putting his name all over the headlines this morning, Marcus Rashford. How good is he?
Phenomenal. I mean, I just think the fact that he scores goals against, well, on a couple of occasions now against big sides, you know, Arsenal and City, he doesn't look as if the big occasion bothers him whatsoever. You know, he'll have dreamt of Manchester derbies growing up in Withenshaw in Manchester and other districts, and he just seems to have a cool head about him. I mean, it helped that Martin De Michelis of City had one of the worst days he'll have had in his career and probably one of the worst eviscerations of a defender in a Manchester derby, really, I think. But he took his chances and he was lively and quick and good positional sense. And I was just thinking back, actually, when I was writing the piece for the paper to Robbie Fowler's sort of breakthrough season, 95-96, which was obviously 20 years ago. And, you know, obviously Robbie scored an absolute ruck of goals in that season. But I don't know, there were some slight overtones of that for me in the fact that he didn't care who he was playing against. He managed to score goals.
Has he got that little bit of arrogance, that imperious nature about himself?
Yeah, I mean, there was a moment with Rashford where he'd just on the stroke of half time, where it looked like he'd won a penalty. He should have been given a penalty for being brushed to the floor by De Michelis, and the Argentine obviously gave him a bit while he was on the floor, suggesting he was diving, and he was straight up squaring up to him, and I think it might have been Clichy or at least another of the City defenders. So yeah, he's definitely got something about him, and his legs are quite thin. He looks like he's got stick legs. He's quite coltish, but he won't be knocked about. And I mean, if you compare him, say, with Danny Welbeck, who burst onto the scene in a similar way and looked like he could score against anyone, he looks like he's a little bit stronger than Danny. I mean, Ferguson always used to talk about Welbeck needing to sort of bulk up and then needing to work on his actual sort of physique. But despite being quite spindly, he looks strong.
We're always looking for the next youngster, aren't we, that's going to massively impress, but that can do it continuously. And
yeah. And
so often, and I've said it on this show before, but players at a young age will come in and they'll play an adrenaline for three or four games. Now, Rashford had a few games at the start where everyone went, wow. Then he had that little dip, didn't he, where he was maybe slightly off the radar. The games against Liverpool didn't happen. Now maybe he's coming out the other side of that curve again.
That's right. I mean, you're absolutely right to say that, you know, we all, you know, everyone needs to be cautious about this sort of thing. I mean, I think that a lot of the coaches I've spoken to down the years talk about the age of 18 is quite an important sort of staging post for a young player, that, you know, some players can go on to big things after 18, but it can also be a point where some of them drop off. So he didn't look the same player against Liverpool. What I thought was quite significant was that he played the full 90 against Klopp's players on Thursday night, and he looked very fresh, you know, and that was an intense game for United, wasn't it? Obviously, because they had to really go at Liverpool, and they did somewhat until that Coutinho equaliser took the wind out of the sails. Mm. So, you know, I thought fair play, you know, that's pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I guess in a year's time we'll know a lot more, won't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I suppose Louis van Gaal has to take some credit there. You know, some Premier League managers wouldn't want to thrust someone so young in. Perhaps a club like Manchester United, even more impressive that someone so young in that sort of environment is starting to flourish. It's only good for the English game. Let's face it, we want to see more academy products coming through.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful sort of things you can hear when a young English player comes through unexpectedly in these times, because what the chief execs at the clubs talk about, you know, is the fact that you know, every player, every side from top to bottom, richest to poorest, can now afford to go and spend millions on second tier continental players because of the, you know, from Spain or Italy or Germany, because of the fact that there is the TV money. And if you look at United, you know, they blew an absolute fortune on Anthony Martial, didn't they? At the end of the summer transfer window, when they looked like desperate for any striker they could find, and yet he is one who's come from within the ranks. So to actually find a pathway to the team, as Gary Neville calls it, right now, with on the cusp of this even bigger TV deal, is just phenomenal, I think.
Do you get the sense that these academies are doing their jobs properly? Obviously, Liverpool and Everton, they plough an awful lot of money, and there's a lot of time put into the coaching and everything that goes around bringing youngsters through. But are enough of them sort of brought to the fore and given a proper Premier League footing?
Well, I mean, there's a better sort of Premier League regime now, isn't there, with the EPPP, which is, you know, the regime set up to make sure that they tick all the boxes in terms of quality. But no, Steve, I don't think they all do the job. And I think United's a good example of an academy which has had no academy director for the last, well, 6-7 months. They've only just recently appointed Nicky Butt as director there. Man City actually, all the people will tell you that they're much better organised and have a more efficient and professional operation in their academy. And I think United are a club who are still, despite yesterday's result and the chance maybe of a top four finish, slightly floundering around in the aftermath of Ferguson's era, where Ferguson sort of really ran everything from the top. It was very dictatorial. He kind of knew what was going on roughly, and everyone just sort of fell in line. And they've not got structures. You know, they don't have structures. I don't think they have structures in the way that a Liverpool or an Everton would have a structure. I mean, I've got a mate of mine who's lads at Everton's academy. I mean, and they've talked to a few different academies and know that scene and just talk very highly of Finch Farm and that operation. And, you know, I think all the work that's gone on since Rafa Benitez's time at Liverpool and before, I think they're better academies than United. And in some ways, although you're right to say that about Van Gaal being, it being good that he's brought Rashford through, I think it's almost needs must with United. They've had no strikers, so he seized the opportunity. I think it's more by partly by accident than design, I think, really, in some respects.
Okay, let's get on to the top four race then. Have United, are they doing enough to convince you that they will overtake Manchester City, or indeed are both Manchester clubs in danger of being pipped by West Ham herein?
I think they are. They are both in danger of being eclipsed. I think Bilic has got, at West Ham, has just got a far clearer, more precise idea about what it takes to win, you know, game after game after game. And I think it's probably a little bit more straightforward for a club like West Ham, where there's not a vast number of players and resource, not to the extent of City and United. Perhaps there's not the same pressure, but, you know, he's just very organised about the way he goes about it. Whereas, you know, I say, you know, floundering is the word I'd sort of use to describe United, who look like they don't really know how to win games, but they sometimes do. I mean, they started dreadfully yesterday. I mean, I would never have given you a 1-0 for United 10, 15 minutes in. I think it helped to say that Fellaini wasn't, he sort of uncluttered things. They looked a bit of a cleaner, you know, tidier team. So that's United. We can't be sure about what's going to happen with them. Think about the Europa League first leg against Liverpool. Well, they were just dreadful. I know that's Europe, but, and then City seem to be absolutely going backwards. I mean, I think the decision to announce Guardiola so soon, I mean, on hindsight, looks like a bad one. I mean, their record since then has been really dismal. So it's all to play for. And I think if I were going to bet on it, I would say United, because they have got the edge, I think, in terms of individuals. But and Rooney coming back, there's a bit of talk in the press conference last night about whether he would be back. Van Gaal didn't say yay or nay, but I think he will make a difference, of course. So if I'm going to bet on it, I'd say United. But West Ham could certainly sneak in, I think.
United have found a way to do it, even though they've played appallingly for a lot of the amount of time. In terms of City, I take it Pep Guardiola's never had anything written into his contract, meaning he can renege on it if they're in the Europa League then.
All the assurances from City are that that what you say is absolutely right. That you know, he's here whether they're in the Champions League or not,
and he's happy.
I mean, I think the behind the scenes there with Guardiola, it's not a harmonious situation at Munich for him. It's never easy, so they say, for a non-German to go into a club like Bayern and run it. Van Gaal will tell you that from his time there, but that's what we're hearing in terms of his current situation. He wanted to keep Toni Kroos at Bayern, and he obviously went and was sold. So it's not as if he's going from a kind of the Garden of Eden into City. So I think it feels like he'll be glad of a route out, having served his 3 years there. And he's very tight with a lot of the people who run Man City, the chief executive, Ferran Soriano, and the director of football, the guy Tiki Begiristan. They were very tight from their time together at Barcelona. So it's one of those project stories, Steve. I think, you know, where he'll feel there's something to be done, and whether they're in the Champions League or not, you know, therein lies the job. And I think the other thing to say about the Champions League is that, you know, United and City talk until the cows come home about how winning the Premier League now is just so difficult, with every club having all this money, that in a sense it's on a different plane to the Champions League. I mean, I think, you know, we're probably accustomed to thinking about the Champions League as the icing on the cake, you know, perhaps with, you know, having reported on Liverpool for so many years and known what that means to that club. But, you know, the Premier League takes such precedence now over Champions League because it's so much harder to win.
What a season for missed opportunity for so many teams. Yeah, you know, whether it's Liverpool, whether it's United, City, Arsenal. Absurd season. I wonder whether we'll ever see a season like this again, or whether this is just an absolute blip on the Premier League landscape.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it's the reality of it is with the money, it's all about, it all flows from the economics to me. You know, with the 5 billion quid knocking around, we were talking to some of the City execs about this yesterday, and they were just sort of saying that that some clubs will have. The best clubs will, or the best performing clubs in terms of Premier League finish, will have about 150 million quid to spend from the TV deal. That relates to TV money, sponsorship, ticketing, and all the rest of it. But even the weakest would have about 100 million. The ratio from top to bottom is just so small, really. So I think the money has blown it wide open, and that's why you have, of course, have these clubs like, you know, Southampton yesterday, you know, Mane, what a player, you know, what great players they've got to finish those chances as they did in that game. So I think the money has blown it wide open. I think that surprised City and United, and there's been a little bit of complacency at those clubs about that. Whereas, you know, your West Ham's, your Stokes, your Southamptons, the Leicesters, of course, I've got amongst it and spent the money well.
Ian, thank you very much indeed. If you pick up a copy of The Independent today, you can read Ian's excellent match report from the Manchester Derby. Also, a fascinating piece from Kevin Garside. Can Roy follow the examples of cricket and rugby and make England great again? Goodness me, that's a big question to answer. That needs half an hour, doesn't it, Ian?
It's another show for us.
Ian, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Nice to be in touch.
Ian Herbert from The Independent.
This is Radio City Talk. Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.